If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, WWE Hall of Famer Bully Ray and I talk everything Wednesday Night Wars, AEW Dynamite on TNT, and NXT on the USA Network. Who had the better show? Who had the better wrestling show? Who had the better overall show? Plus, we get into who had the best match. NXT had Walter and Kushida. And then when you look at AEW, Private Party and the Young Bucks, we get into both matches on today's episode. Speaking of AEW Dynamite, Chris Jericho had a bit of a pipe bomb on the show, talking about the WWE, also talking about Cody Rhodes and his family. And let me tell you something, he dives deep. We'll get into that promo. Maybe did Chris Jericho go a little too far? All that right now on the Busted Open Podcast.
Another great night from both shows. I mean, each product, whether you're watching NXT or AEW, whether you're flipping back and forth, or whether you watched one and then watched the other, I think we can agree, Dave, that they were both strong shows. Yes?
Yes, both were. I would say both shows were very good last night.
Very good shows. And man, when was the last time we could sit back and go, wow, we're getting two very good shows? Well, actually last week.
Yeah.
Because last week we got two very good shows.
True.
And I guess I think this is what we have to look forward to. Because as we've spoke about, I think both companies are going to put their best foot forward every Wednesday night, and we're going to get very good shows. But in my eyes, each show was a little bit more very good than the other for specific reasons. What did you think was the better in-ring wrestling show?
The better in-ring, you know what? Bully, that's a tough one because you look at the matches that we saw on both shows, you saw some great matches. I would probably give the nod to NXT.
Why?
Because of the Leo Rush match and the win to start, and then the Walter Kushida match to end the night, it's tough because again I loved what I saw last night from AEW from an in-ring perspective. It's a very, very tough question, but I probably would say by an inch it may be NXT.
Maybe I should have worded it like this: which show had the better in-ring pro wrestling?
NXT.
Yeah, it's NXT.
Yeah.
And for the two matches that you mentioned, the Leo Rush match was exciting, the Walter match, it seems like the NXT crew is applying a lot more psychology to the things they do. A lot more things make sense. I'm watching AEW, and there are some things that just completely don't make sense, but it really doesn't matter because the crowd is going crazy, and it seems like everybody is having fun. I mean, I saw a couple of times last night where JR had to seriously cover up for some of the things that were going on out there, whether it was guys taking liberties with possible disqualifications or referees, you know, being extremely lenient,
mm-hmm.
so lenient that it feels like, you know, they're not adhering to their rules. But it's hard. It's almost like we have to come up with a list, Dave, of everything that is unique to both shows and who gets the check mark on each side. I look at it as a battle of perception and reality also. When it comes to, in wrestling, they always say perception is reality.
True.
And that's a big thing. Who do you think wins the battle of perception last night?
AEW.
Who do you think wins the battle of reality?
I think it would probably be NXT.
But when that rating comes out, what's more real than the rating?
Nothing. Especially coming off of what happened last week. I think that's going to be the real can get is what are the fans watching? Like, you and I talk about it, and Bully, because we have to come on the air the next day and talk about it, we watch both shows. But not everybody's like you and I. There might be people who, you know, especially on a work night, a school night, you may just watch one show, DVR the other, and watch it the next day. Or maybe after watching, listening to Bust It Open, you may just skim through it on your DVR. That's the big telling when it comes into this war between NXT and AEW. What's going to be the must-watch show? What's going to be the show that gives you that moment that you have to watch in the moment? That's going to be telling between the two shows. And I'm just judging it from the last 2 weeks. When it comes to that question, I think the winner is AEW.
I agree, and it's because of the perception, Dave. For the second week in a row, I find myself immediately flipping back and forth between both shows, and I find it impossible to not stay on AEW.
Great
because
point.
Of the perception. It is virtually, it's almost as if there is a force out there, and yes, the force is real, it's all real, the Jedi are real, and the Sith are real. It's as if there's a force out there that is preventing me from clicking over to NXT, because the perception of AEW, the size of the arena, the size of the crowd, the enthusiasm, even the two audios, Dave, if you listen to the crowd at AEW, they have a lot more bass. If you listen to the crowd at NXT, it's a lot more treble because there's a lot less people there, and because it's, you know, basically like it's like a soundstage. So I really have to see past all of that stuff to keep my eyes in the ring. Now, in the ring, what was the first match we got? We got Lio Rush and Drew Gulak, which was a phenomenal wrestling match, and I really enjoyed it. But man, going back and forth, I got the Bucks and Private Party on one screen with a 10,000 seat arena and people going buck wild, and on the other screen I got Lio Rush and Drew Gulak having a phenomenal match in front of 500 people in a dark arena.
Well, it's funny that you say about perception, and you're 100% right. You know, we can have that discussion. And again, we brought it up 30 years ago. That's what gave the WWF the edge over everything else, because the perception. Hey, am I going to watch a show in front of 500 people, or am I going to watch a show in front of 15,000 people? And I think that's a big reason why the WWF, at the end of the day, was a lot of ways when it came to ratings and perception, won the war back in the 80s, and it's completely the opposite when it comes to Wednesdays. But I'm going to take it in another direction, Bully, because you talked about perception, sound of the crowd, the look of the crowd, and everything else, which I agree with. I chose to start watching AEW last night. I said, I'm going to watch AEW, I'll flip back and forth, and then when AEW's over, I'll watch NXT. But here's the issue. Private Party, Young Bucks, amazing match, a phenomenal, awesome match. Wasn't switching over to see what was going on in NXT during the match, because they had my attention from the start of the bell until that match was over, and it was almost 15 minutes long, and you had a huge surprise at the end with Private Party beating the Young Bucks. So I didn't switch over at all during that show. Then they go to commercial. I go to NXT, Bully, and they're in commercial. So I go back to AEW, and then you got the Jericho promo. Not switching off that Jericho promo, because it was absolutely phenomenal. They go to break. I go to NXT. They're in break. Then I go back to AEW, and you have Darby Allin and Jimmy Havoc. Phenomenal match. They go to break. I go over to NXT. NXT's in break. Here's the problem. There was no point during that AEW show that I was like, during a match or during a promo, all right, let me switch over and see what NXT is doing. Couldn't do that, because from start to finish, I thought that the product that we saw in the ring and on the microphone was phenomenal last night.
Phenomenal observation from you, because it's so true. AEW, whether it's what you see in the ring, the vibe you're getting from the arena, or the fact that you never know when they're going to throw a surprise at you, you don't want to turn off. And these are all the things that make wrestling so much fun. Like you said, if you have the Young Bucks at Private Party, whether you think it's a psychologically sound match or not, it really doesn't matter. because you're seeing these guys doing phenomenal athletic maneuvers. They're flipping and flying and doing all this crazy stuff, and 10,000 people are going crazy. They're having a great time. It's loud. It's fun. It's raucous. It's everything. And even if you do flip over, there's Lio Rush and Drew Gulak having a great wrestling match. But it feels like a, it's a small vibe. And Dave, the question that I had for you this morning is this. We can agree that the Full Sail crowd was great for the weekly show on the network, right?
Yes.
Do you think that that Full Sail crowd is going to be able to keep up with the perception of AEW every single week? And how long do you think before they have to move that show to a different city?
That's a great, you know what, that's the money question right there. Because you said about with AEW, listen, you and Mark did a phenomenal job talking about NWA Power from Tuesday. And if NWA Power, why was it so big? 605 nostalgia, and it's not going up against anything else. It's by itself. If NXT was by itself on Wednesday nights on USA and they didn't have anything else that was an option, I wouldn't have a problem with that Full Sail crowd. But you did a great job of building up why there is an issue. And that issue is AEW and that perception. Because they're doing it in front of 5, 10, 15,000 people. Full Sail each and every week. It's the same venue. It's the same people. It's the same thing we talked about 7, 8 years ago when it came to Impact Wrestling. It's hard to shake the perception of being second rate when in comparison to something else, perception is reality. And that's the same thing that NXT has an issue with. And I agree with you. At some point, I bet they make a change. Now, listen, if they win the ratings war, if they come out this week and they beat AEW and that trend continues, then I don't think it's an issue. But like you said, if you have another week like we had last week and that trend continues, I think they're going to start making changes. And it's going to be interesting to find out if NXT can do what AEW is doing. I know that NXT sells out takeovers, but could NXT go to arenas each and every week and sell it out?
That remains to be seen. Maybe smaller arenas. I'm very curious to see how much longer, and we're only in week two. And if AEW beats NXT again, especially by the same margin they beat last week, I'm just wondering how long before Vince has to step in and go, no way, man. I got Monday Night Raw. I got SmackDown on Fox. I just got $1 billion. The WWE is bigger than it has ever been. And one of my shows is getting beat in the ratings. The more and more AEW beats NXT, it's kind of like a video game, Dave. If AEW continues to beat NXT, and I know we're only in week two, how long before AEW says, maybe we can go up against Raw?
Well,
I know I'm looking way down the road here.
Well,
so far, that light at the end of the tunnel is pretty bright.
Well, I think your first point is probably the biggest point. The WWE is the WWE. Like, you know, SmackDown's on Fox every Friday from 8 to 10 on national TV, and the biggest it's ever, mainstream. And, you know, come on, you can't compete with that. And then Monday Night Raw is Monday Night Raw. But you still have a show that's getting beat. So I'm sure Vince McMahon's going to be like, why? Why are we doing this? Why are we putting this show up against AEW when it's getting beat? It's, you know, perception is reality. We don't want to have a chink in our armor at all. We're rolling right now. I mean, we talked about it. Vince McMahon sent out an email to his entire staff earlier this week congratulating everybody about what they were able to do last week. So obviously NXT is not on his radar, but if it continues to lose, don't you think it's going to be on his radar?
It's on his radar right now, trust me. Could you imagine Vince McMahon doing a press conference right now? with all of the positive stuff going on within the WWE, especially SmackDown being on Fox, they got the big press conference coming up in Vegas tomorrow. Tyson Fury is going to be there. Kane Velasquez, Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman, Triple H.
Yep.
All of this mainstream publicity, all of this crossover advertising. Could you imagine Vince McMahon sitting at a press conference and getting a question? Hey, Vince, you just got a billion from Fox. Everything is going great. You're huge. You're multimedia, worldwide entertainment conglomerate. What do you attribute NXT losing in AEW to the ratings? Dude, that's all it's going to take, Dave.
Yeah.
That is all it is going to take with Vince. Because the key word, lose. That man does not want to hear that word. That man doesn't like that word. Vince McMahon saying lose is like Fonzie saying liver.
Well, I mean, and you know what, Bully? Like, that's why you're seeing the XFL again. The big reason why you're seeing the XFL is this is his way of saying, I lost, I don't want to lose, I'm going to do it again, and I'm going to make it succeed. He does not like to lose. And listen, last week, they lost. Whether it happens this week, it remains to be seen.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
I don't like your father, Dusty Rhodes. I think he was a jerk. I don't like your brother, Dustin Rhodes. I think he's a mourner. I'm going to kick his ass tonight. And most importantly, Cody, on November 9th at Full Gear, when you challenge Le Champion for the AEW Championship, you know what's going to happen to you? I'm going to beat the ever-living shit out of you.
That was one hell of a promo by Chris Jericho last night, Bully.
Fire. Straight fire. Same kind of fire it took for the Death Star to blow up Alderaan.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Of course you don't. You're a Star Trek guy. Let's just say it was big.
Okay.
I was laughing my ass off, man, really, because you want to talk about unscripted. That's about as unscripted as it gets. I mean, come on, Dave. That's the stuff that we love about pro wrestling. It's got such a, here I go again, but it's got such an ECW vibe to it. It's a straight up shoot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, let me take you behind the curtain for a second. Cody doesn't like it when you talk about Dusty. Cody really doesn't like it when you talk about Dusty. Chris is going to do whatever the hell he wants.
That's interesting.
Yep.
Because
Cody don't care if you talk about Dustin. But he does care if you talk about Dusty.
Well, you talked about him talking about his father. Here's why that piece of audio we just played from AEW last night was vital. Because if you remember just before that, Bully, he was talking about Jake Hagar and about the We the People. And he went off about how that was a stupid slogan from, you know, creative and how bad creative, blah, blah, blah. Chris Jericho's getting cheered. Then he did what he just did there about Cody and his family and about Dusty. And you heard the boos from the crowd. Chris Jericho's the heel. So you never want to get cheers if you're the heel. He was able to turn it around. So at the end of that segment, he was getting booed by 15,000 people.
He's just a smart worker, man. Knows what he's doing. He knows that an AEW fan base is going to love the fact that he just shot on the WWE. Took a shot at their creative. Even though technically he's wrong. We the People got over.
It did.
People.
To the point where they're chanting We the People. So it's actually pretty damn good if you think about it.
It's so over that the AEW fans were chanting it. So it really is. It's funny in the fact that it's so wrong. You know? People are chanting it to show Hagar some love. Jericho cuts it off, says it's horrible creative. People are popping even more now because, ooh, that was a shot at WWE. We love this. This is what we love about AEW, which is true. It's that it has that feel where you never know what's going to happen. And then Jericho realizes that the people are up for the We the People. The people are up for Jericho saying that it was bad creative. So what am I going to do now? I'm going to stop on a dime. I'm going to do a complete 180 and shove it down their throat by saying how much I hate Dusty.
I mean, it's genius from beginning to end, because like you said, the We the People is over, but he's just called it stupid. So now people aren't going to chant We the People anymore because Chris Jericho just said it was stupid. And then he made the comment about the WWE, which gets the pop, and then quickly, like you said, turned it around by making the comment on Dusty Rhodes. I mean, and I think the biggest thing, Bully, what you said is that non-scripted. Because if you went over to NXT soon after that, you had a promo by Velveteen Dream. And I'm not knocking on Velveteen Dream because I love Velveteen Dream. But there was a big difference between the promo you heard from Velveteen Dream and the promo that you heard from Chris Jericho.
Velveteen Dream's promo was scripted. It was canned. It is what it is. It lacked emotion. And if you don't believe me, just go back and watch the part of the promo where he challenges for the North American Championship. You heard crickets out there. And listen, I don't care why you heard crickets out there. You still heard crickets out there. It's a perception thing. So if you're checking out the NXT brand and you're not hearing a response from the fans in that very moment, and you change over to AEW and you're hearing responses basically throughout the entire show, what are you going to be more interested in home?
Yeah,
that perception thing is so huge when it comes to that TV set. It really is. And I'm not quite sure how NXT gets around it. I agree with your promo about Velveteen Dream. And Dave, would you agree or disagree that in the past 2 weeks, Velveteen Dream has seemed like he might have taken a tiny, tiny step backward than from what we've seen from him in the past?
Yes, because I thought he was... Listen, this is not a knock, but I agree with you. He was firing on all cylinders. It seems like that went since they made the move to USA, he hasn't been the Velveteen Dream that I've loved when this show was on the WWE Network. It just seems like he's lost a little bit of the step, or there's been a little bit of a misstep. I think an example of that is like what we saw last night. Now, listen, it's not severe. I'm not knocking him. He can get that momentum back, but it does seem like he lost a little bit of that momentum over the last few weeks.
I feel for some reason like he's playing Velveteen Dream over the past 2 weeks and not being Velveteen Dream. And maybe this is the reason why he hasn't been called up to the main roster yet. Maybe there's something still missing. Maybe Vince says, yeah, I like it, but he's still got a little bit of ways to go.
Well, I think like the Velveteen Dream promos in a lot of ways is so much better than what we're seeing. Because like you're talking about missing something. I don't think that's the case, because I think the biggest thing when it comes to the promos is about that it's got to get your emotion and it's got to come from the heart and it's got to be raw. Like, that's the one thing that you saw from Chris Jericho on AEW last night. And listen, man, it's hard. I mean, you're talking about Chris Jericho. He's one of the best ever on the microphone, so it's unfair to compare the two. I mean, one's a grizzled veteran and one's just coming up. But Chris Jericho schooled him. Why? Because it was emotional. And man, it may seem like, like low-hanging fruit, but the Dusty line got you. It made you hate Chris Jericho.
What's wrong with low-hanging fruit?
There's nothing wrong with it, because at the end of the day, it made me hate Chris Jericho. Man, think about it. 10 seconds before that, you were loving Chris Jericho, but that one line from him made you boo and want to see him get his ass kicked. That when you, by the time that this show was over and you saw Cody Rhodes, that's exactly what you wanted Cody to do, was to beat the shit out of Chris Jericho. And you didn't need to do all the scripted promo or the Roderick Strong with the little dinghy. Like, you didn't need to go there. Like, that does nothing for me. That does not garner emotion at all. What Chris Jericho was able to do with just words garnered that emotion. And honestly, I got to be honest with you in a lot of ways too. I got that from NXT. I usually got that from NXT in the hour on the network. I'm not saying it's going to happen. And you know me, I jump to conclusions. But I'm starting to see little tiny cracks in the foundation when it comes to those things that I fell in love with NXT in the first place. Do I think that they're going to change some things? Are they going to, quote-unquote, WWE-ize some things? I don't know, but I'm just saying that I hope it doesn't go in that direction.
You think they're already starting to forget where they came from?
Well, I'm not going to say that because at the core and the foundation, it's the wrestling. And probably the wrestling that I'm seeing on that show has been better the last couple weeks than ever that I saw on the network. But when it comes to those promos and that microphone, it's a little bit different than what I saw in the hour on the network.
The Roderick Strong thing with the little dinghy felt so Monday Night Raw.
Yes. Thank
you. And that's exactly what we don't want from NXT. And you know what? You know, we always talk about the coolness factor, Dave, and, you know, NXT has a coolness factor too, but when it comes to the coolness factor, I think NXT is cooler than anything on the main roster. Would you agree?
Yes.
But nothing is cooler than AEW in the world of pro wrestling right now.
Not right now. They're, again, like you mentioned earlier, the cool kids. And again, like when it comes to being edgy, and everybody likes that word edgy, you know, if that was NXT's way of being edgy last night by having Roderick Strong and that whole picture of him naked on the couch, to me, that's not edgy. That's maybe tasteless, but it's not edgy.
What Chris said was edgy.
Yes, exactly. Really good
thing. And listen, go, if you don't believe us, go back and listen to the reactions of the crowd from the NXT in NXT when, you know, they did the Roderick Strong little dinghy thing, and go back and listen to the reactions of the crowd from when Jericho hit those edgy lines. It tells you everything you need to know. I mean, you got that canned pop with the Roderick Strong thing, like, oh, I can't believe they went there. Yeah, okay, then it's gone. When Jericho hit his line, you had people's eyes popping wide open, people covering their mouths because they can't believe Chris said that.
Because it's, you know, and man, I'm going to get killed on this, but it's that it feels like that's the WWE way sometimes. In NXT, what's the cool group? What's the cool faction? It's the Undisputed Era. That they're cool. They do garner emotion. But now what they're doing now with this Roderick Strong picture and everything, now you're going to get the canned lines when they come out. And all of a sudden, they're not going to be the cool faction anymore. Because that's what the WWE does. They make fun of the heels. Instead of making the heels feel strong, they make fun of them. A la what we saw last week with Baron Corbin. On the other side, what is the heel doing? The heel is calling out the face. Calling out, being the bully, which is going to make you want to see that face beat the shit out of the heel. That's what pro wrestling has always been. So, yes, that's why I would probably gravitate in that respect to AEW over NXT from what I saw last night.
When you have something as cool as AEW in their roster right now, there's only one way to fight it, Dave, and that's with cool. And that's what you need with, like, the Undisputed Era, right?
Yes.
It's the only way you go head-to-head with a coolness factor. You have to have something that is as cool, if not cooler than. It kind of reminds me, if we've had this conversation inside the whole Ring of Honor Madison Square Garden thing. If you had Cody and the Bucks and all the cool kids leave Ring of Honor, who did you want to put your World Heavyweight Championship on?
Marty
Scurll. Only guy that was the only guy that was still cool there. Because that was the only cool kid that was left. That's the only way you fight cool, with cool.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
What match did you think was the best match of the night last night?
You got to give me parameters. What does best match mean? Exciting? Technically sound?
Overall. Just like what
was more exciting, the Young Bucks and Private Party or Kushida and Walter?
Young Bucks and Private Party.
Which was the better pro wrestling match?
It was Kushida and Walter.
That's why I say you got to set parameters. You can't ask that question with such a broad stroke.
All right, what was the most satisfying match for you as a fan? Watching as a fan, what was the most satisfying match?
I'm gonna give the edge just a tiny bit to the Bucks and Private Party, and here's why. It was how they did the finish of their match. As a fan and a professional, when a tag team goes over, Dave, they should always go over with their tag team finish, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a strong believer in that. Last night, Private Party did not go over with their tag team finish. They went over with a roll-up. I liked it because it was out of nowhere. If Private Party would have went over on the Bucks with their finish, it would have felt forced. So I liked the fact that it came out of nowhere and it caught me off guard and it surprised me. As far as a technically sound wrestling match is concerned, no. That was just a spot fest.
I don't know if I would call it a spot fest, and here's why, Bully. Because on the surface, I almost want to go with Kushida and Walter, because as you know, and I've said it on this show many times, I'm not a big Young Bucks fan. From what you just said, a lot of their matches, it's fun, it's exciting, it's a spot fest. They don't do a lot of selling, there's not a lot of storytelling in their matches.
I just said it was a spot fest, and now you're saying it wasn't a spot fest.
No, I'm not talking about the match from last night. I'm talking about what we usually see from the Young Bucks,
and that's why I'm not the
biggest fan. I actually saw them do certain things in that match last night that I don't normally see in a Young Bucks match. There actually was some selling. There actually was a little bit of storytelling. It's not drastic, but if you really watch that match again, I saw a little bit of them doing things that was not Young Buck like. And I know that sounds crazy, but it's true in a lot of ways. They kind of changed their game just a little bit.
Especially when they're out there with guys like Private Party who are, so much younger. And just want to go out there and do Young Buck-esque stuff.
Yes.
So if you saw them slow it down a little bit, if you saw them work a little bit more of a psychological style, that's great. Good. Because that's only going to help those guys in the long run. When it comes to Walter and Kushida, I mean, come on, man. What's not to like? Walter is becoming a master of making you believe that anybody that he is in the ring with can beat him, even though you know deep in your heart they have no chance in hell of beating Walter.
Walter is a guy, when you see him, you say, holy shit. And I'm not just talking about the moves in there. I'm talking about just his presence. Like, you look at him and you're like, dear God, how could anybody beat this guy in the ring? And ultimately, Walter won, which is another reason why I probably thought the Private Party Young Bucks match was a little bit more satisfying to me, because that was a major upset. There was not one point during that match did I think that they were going to beat the Young Bucks. But they did. And it's like, holy shit, these guys came from nowhere, and they probably beat the best tag team in the world. That's a major statement.
And they did it in a way that was believable.
Yes.
With a roll-up. That was the right finish. You know, the other things that I love about Walter from beginning to end, obviously his entrance music. The beginning of his entrance music, they ripped off the theme from Jaws, and then it goes into the Imperial March from Star Wars. I mean, just his entrance music sets the tone, the way he comes out there, the way he stands there, his presence, his stature.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets, and that's before the bell even rings. And then he goes in there, and his work is so good. Kushida, phenomenal. I mean, New Japan talent, who Hunter, obviously was high on, brought him into NXT. Did you think Kushida had a chance of winning last night?
I didn't think he was going to win. Now, when you're watching it.
That's because you're too smart for your own good.
Probably.
When you're watching it.
Yeah, there were times that you said, holy shit, he's going to beat Walter. Didn't happen, but there, of course. The way that Walter was able to sell and what Kushida was able to do and counter some of those moves from Walter, you almost thought, maybe there's a chance.
So when I'm watching Walter and Kushida, I'm watching Rush. When I'm watching Private Party and the Bucks, I'm watching Kiss. Walter and Kushida technically sound, who had me at the right times. Wow, I actually thought Kushida had a chance. And then just when you think there's a chance, no, here's your finish. Boom, done. See you, bye. I'm just going to beat you. And I think Walter is a, in my eyes, is a major, major star. I love him because normally I would not go for a guy who is such plain Jane, but plain Jane is what makes Walter. He's just a killing machine.
He's fantastic. And you know who else is fantastic on that NXT roster right now is Rhea Ripley. Like, they did a great job of presenting her, and you want to see her in that match with Shayna Baszler. And this is where I thought NXT last night was a much better show than the week before, because they were actually able to explain everybody, and they were able to kind of start storylines and get you invested. That's something that they didn't do last week that they did this week.
I just talked about the way Walter stands there, his presence, his posture, his stature. Rhea Ripley has all of that also. Rhea Ripley truly looks the part. She looks different than the other women. She looks like something out of Mad Max and the Road Warrior.
Yeah.
You know, she's got that cool, edgy, you know, futuristic, badass look. And her stature is phenomenal. And her work is good. If there is one area that we can give the definitive nod to NXT, it's in their women's division. Yes or no?
I agree. Yes.
I mean, it's not even close in the women's division.
I mean, just Shayna Baszler, what we saw, Ripley. I you know, a lot of people don't see it, but I sure do. I think Bianca Belair is a star. She gets under my skin. I mean, with her mic work, she's fantastic on her mic. And she's very good in the ring as well. I'm a fan. I agree with you. NXT has a much better women's division right now than what we're seeing on AEW.
Better athletes and a lot more polished athletes there. So the AEW women are entertaining. I like what they're doing there, but it's obvious that the NXT women have a lot more reps under their belt.
And the other thing, they have just, I think the biggest thing is the presence. Like, listen, AEW, it's going to take a little bit more reps. I'm going to have to see them more. I'm going to have to kind of emotionally get invested in them. And I thought they did a good showcase last night. But the women's division on NXT, it's instant. As soon as you see, like, if you never watched NXT before and you watched that show last night, you're already emotionally invested in Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair. Instantly.
What one woman has the most impressive presence in AEW? Kong.
Yeah, and we haven't seen her yet on the show. We saw her
and
at the pay-per-view, yeah.
Kong's a veteran, you know, so it's not like she's a newer talent that has this presence. What newer talent has the presence of a Rhea Ripley? You going to tell me Nyla Rose? I'm not sure. I think Rhea Ripley is more impressive looking.
I agree. And with Nyla Rose, and we had her in studio last week, and she was great. And she was great with Awesome Kong, because Awesome Kong's been
absolutely
a mentor towards her. But that takes time. That's going to take time for that to happen. So you're going to grow into this women's division. This is going to – it's a growing period. It's going to take a while before you fall in love with these women and get emotionally invested. It's not the same with NXT. Like you said, the polish is there right away. Let's go out to the Busted Open Nation. Let's go out to Ryan in South Carolina. Ryan, what do you think about this Wednesday night war?
Loving it, loving it. And I am absolutely loving both shows. No hate or anything on either of the shows. I am so in on NXT. I love the fact that it's different. To me, that's why it's standing out more to me right now. I'm watching NXT live and immediately watching AEW immediately after. And as I watch the shows, a couple things stood out to me. As I watch AEW, I'm 40 years old, so I'm an old school wrestling fan. As I watch AEW, it feels like I get the best all cylinders of WCW back in its prime. That's how it feels to me. When I watch NXT, it's like a more polished version to me of ECW. The smaller setting, the commentary, excuse me. It's just standing out more to me that way. But I love both shows. If I have to cut out any wrestling, it's going to be Raw or SmackDown. That's how I feel.
Say again. Say that last thing again.
If I had to cut out any wrestling right now, it's going to be Raw or SmackDown.
Interesting.
I'd much rather watch Yeah.
Ryan, thank you so much for the phone call. I appreciate it. Man, I'm wondering how many people feel the way Ryan does. Because we talked about it, Bully, and it's our job to watch everything because we have to talk about it the next day. Hard for a lot of people to do that. There's a lot of wrestling. There's wrestling on almost every single night. As a matter of fact, you can make a case there's wrestling every single night. You have to cut some stuff out. I'm wondering if there's a lot of fans, maybe even a lot of newer fans, that, you know what, that three-hour Raw on Monday night might be the show that they're cutting out. That sounds crazy because that's always been the flagship show for the WWE. But I'm wondering with the newer fan and maybe even some of the older fans that that's kind of like the one that I can pass on. I don't need to watch, especially how good Wednesday nights are right now, Bully.
It's because you know what you're going to get on Monday nights. It's been the same show over and over. I'm not saying that it's a bad show. I'm just saying you know what you're getting. You're not quite sure what you're going to get from NXT on Wednesday nights or AEW on Wednesday nights or SmackDown on Friday now because of the Fox move. You're not quite, and with all the other companies out there being, you know, being different, like, let's check them out. And I think this is where Heyman is going to play a major role. If anybody can take a show that might feel dated in Monday Night Raw to some new viewers, he can take the show and make it feel fun and must watch again. Although I'm not too sure about last week.
Yeah, this past Monday night was not a good showing for the WWE. And a lot of it had to do with what we saw at the start of that show. I mean, shocking does not mean good, you know, like edgy doesn't have to be like a woman in bed with another wrestler and watching the husband crying in the ring. There's a balance here. And I understand you got to try different things because in a lot of ways what we were getting wasn't working. And maybe there's a little bit of a trial period. But do you have that trial period, Bully, when you have must-watch TV? I think NXT and AEW right now are must-watch. I have to watch both shows. Like, I can't miss a week. Man, if you missed a Monday Night Raw, would you be shattered? I mean, when's the last time you really got a huge, shocking moment on Monday Night Raw?
Oh, there's been some good Raws in the past couple of weeks. We've come on the show and talked about Raw in a positive way. But getting back to that opening of last week's Raw, we've talked about it. Like, I'm all about soap opera, but give me reality-based soap opera, not something that's so canned. Because I know this is not going on. I know this is just completely made up, totally scripted, blah, blah, blah. This is not going on in real life. But if you gave me something that could seem a little bit more real, I'd buy into it. And this is where social media comes in. And I know what you're going to say. Lana's doing a great job on social media. But we know that Lana and Rusev are a very happily married couple.
Yes. And you can't fake that because we know the truth.
Right.
So, I mean, that's something that you just can't fake. Let's go back out to the nation. Let's go out to Paul in Louisiana. Paul, what did you want to say about last night?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking my call. So the thing that I want to talk about was the fact that I love both shows, and I give about 4 or 5 weeks before we start nitpicking apart, because let's face it, we can nitpick till the cows come home on both of these. But one of the things that's standing out is watching both shows. NXT keeps the action in the ropes for majority of the show. AEW, all over the place. I mean, in the ropes, outside the ropes. It's anarchy. And I'm liking it like this. Think of it like this. NXT is your steak and potatoes. You're good meal. You're not breaking the rules. You're not doing anything. NXT, that's your cheat meal. Or AEW is your cheat meal. And it's a fantastic time to be a wrestling fan. I'm just finding it funny. Why is NXT just keeping it in the ropes? They do go out some, but is this on purpose? I just want to know what you guys think about that.
You know what?
Because that's where you win a wrestling match, in the middle of a ring.
No, but he's saying that with AEW, a lot of this action is happening outside of the ring.
It's because AEW is taking a page out of the playbook of ECW. Kind of like it's all over the place. There's really no rules. And you know what? If the fans are going crazy and we don't have no rules, who gives a shit? Because people are into it. They're going crazy. That's really what it is. I mean, as a performer, I get it. As a professional, it bothers me a little bit. I mean, one of the things that, you know, last night, JR had to cover up for the lack of officiating a couple of times last night. I mean, you had Tully Blanchard, a manager, put his hands on John Moxley last night. That right in front of the referee.
It's instant disqualification.
It's a DQ. But, well, it's referee's discretion, referee's leniency. And then JR talking about the referee is doing a good job of being somewhat lenient. What I hear here is JR having to cover his own ass because he knows no way in hell with the pro wrestling he comes from that he can put this over on commentary.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.